As fine dining continues to evolve, some ride the waves of trends while others make them. Meet some of these culinary mavericks, from a banker-turned-chef to the first female Indian chef to win a Michelin star.
Technique is something that you build through a lot of hard practice. Got to use every part of your body, depending on what kind of pasta you're making. You need to know the nuances of how to form or shape a particular pasta. When you go into that level, there's also a differentiation as to good technique and bad technique. To most people, this profession does not exist, because to them, chef is chef. I cook only small portions of pasta. Every bite is at its peak. I'm there explaining how it's made, where it's from, why it's made this way, a little bit of history. I will get people to come and to have interactive experience where they touch the pasta dough and they try to make it as well. I wanted to focus on the artistry of pasta making, something that's lacking in the current gastronomy landscape in Singapore. There are maybe 500-600 documented shapes. And that is actually a good thing because I get bored quite easily. It's always kind of a roller coaster in terms of emotions. Every time it's a different experience. There's no history or tradition behind it. It's just something that I wanted to introduce on my menu, but with my own spin. Kind of looks like two AA batteries, if you can imagine. I wanted to make sure there were crevices to catch sauce. You want to have a little bit of the sauce, the dressing, together with the pasta when you eat it. Souffoline deo is gossamer pasta threads set on each other to form like a lattice, so it looks like a woven fabric. It's delicate, so traditionally it's served in a broth.
He took a few months to master it. He has this love-hate relationship with this souffoline deo. Like on some days where he sees progression, he'll be very happy about it. But on other days, he'll be so frustrated and he'll say he hates it. But the next hour, he will be still working on it. He is that obsessed and patient.
This is essentially where I grew up, right until I got married and then moved out. He was my hero 15 years ago. And his take on Italian food was not snooty. It was very ingredient-based, produce-driven. So very natural, very new at that time. Also, my friend's dad, he was actually the one who inspired me as well to some extent. So we would go to my friend's house and his dad would gather everybody at the table. He would cook really awesome meals. I always remember his roasted chicken. This conviviality, you know, having people at the table and bonding over food. The wine flows and conversations flow, and that got me very interested in host dinners.
I saw how unhappy he was with his professional job. So I kept pushing him and encouraging him to do it. Whenever he rolls out new dishes or he do new experimentations, I've always been his guinea pig. I'm very critical. So he says I'm his best critic. I don't have to give chance on. In a sense, I don't need to patronize him and say it's nice. I will give him my honest opinion. And in fact, I think this helps him to improve. Across the years, regardless in touch rugby or in his pastor journey, when he commits to something, he will put in 101% and all the hours. And he has this obsession with perfection. It was actually like his R&D research trip in the name of honeymoon. He will force himself to eat 5 meals a day just to max out on all the food that he can try.
After that trip, I acted on those perspectives and new experiences that I've gathered by trying my hand at handmade pasta. And it was one of the most disastrous experiences because I could never replicate what I had there. It's not just materials, but I should focus more on techniques.
I'm extremely proud of what he has achieved, you know, from a noob to slowly a recognized pasta maestro in Singapore. And I think what is even more satisfying is, you know, in the past, he has a lot of recognition from pasta makers all over the world. Like, people that he has been following over the past actually shows their respect for him.
So as an artisan, what I do is to keep true to tradition. A pasta dish is not just a chef's effort, but it's a confluence of both the pasta maker as a craftsman and a professional chef in the kitchen that executes the dish itself.
I don't think anybody knows what real Indian food is. Even I don't. We have 5 different seasons. We have different terroirs, different cultural influences, which I think is great for cooks like me who can freely pick up from within the geographical boundaries of what India is today and come up with things that are surprising, are unique, are fun, even to other cooks. So there's no one way to describe it, and I don't even try. I couldn't think of a better backdrop to explore modern Indian cooking than Bangkok. There's such a big, strong connection between the culture of the two countries, the language, the ingredients, the religion. I mean, to be able to take techniques which are Indian and then apply them to ingredients that we find around us in Thailand, I think it's a perfect way to showcase that. There's not one Indian technique we use. It's an entire repertoire, right from drawing umami from vegetables or using the charcoal, using the tandoor, to fermentation, to pickling, to breads. It's endless. This is our technical take on what makes a curry. The dish is layered with 5 different flavors, but all of it comes together with the macadamia milk, which is locally sourced. That milk kind of transfers each flavor to the guest. And to me, that is what a curry does. It's not simply the act of drinking the broth, it's the layered flavors in there which makes a curry most interesting and so satisfying to eat. He used to travel abroad, come back with different recipes and ingredients. In the 90s, he would be making hummus and risotto and stuff like that in the kitchen, in our little kitchen in India. where nobody had even heard of these things. And I would always be standing next to him, watching him enjoy himself so much. And I kind of felt part of the magic as well. I think that stayed with me, that joy of not just eating, but also the labor of love that goes into cooking. My dad was always ahead of his times, and he instilled that need to do what you love as well. He was just hoping I would go to Paris, study, come back and cook nice food for him, but I never came back. So he's still waiting to get his money's worth. I heard that there was an opportunity for me to do something in India. So I decided to quit my job in Copenhagen to move back to India. But I made a pit stop in Bangkok, spent a couple of months here before I went back. And yeah, I fell in love with the city. I fell in love with the people, the ingredients, and I never left. Thought about being a woman so much. Again, I think this goes back to my father, who raised me not to think about if I was a man or a woman or where I came from. It was the content of my character, my abilities, my need to work hard and just get the job done. I think I was raised in a way where I didn't think about these things. There is such a vacuum of knowledge about true Indian food, not only with people who are not Indian, not only for people abroad, but even within India. When this idea started, I think we took a step to catalog what we could find and hopefully get to an answer one day. How could we define Indian cuisine? This last year and a half has changed me completely. That's when I realized what is under my control is my own health and how I react to the pandemic. Now I definitely spend time exercising, working out. I find that it gives me mental clarity, it gives me focus. I started cooking for friends who wanted to get healthier. First they said, oh, just for a day, 2 days, 3 days, and the next thing they were like taking food from us for a month almost. Maybe this is another way we can help people.
It's very refreshing for someone, an outsider, to come and then, you know, take pride and joy in discovering the local Thai ingredients. I think what Garima can contribute to the food scene in Bangkok is through her boundless creativity. She always comes up with new ways to experience something.
Here is showing real Indian flavors without the stuffiness of a fine dining restaurant. It's making it more accessible and easy. I think Indian cuisine has the resources to give chefs to kind of push Asian food beyond what it has been so far and make it more relevant to where we are today in this day and age.
At my dad's stall, I really learned about thinking on your feet. There's no time for you to think too long. So how to make the guests happy, that was my most important lesson there. I'm the only son in the family, so helping out at a stall, it seems natural. I hated it, but slowly I find the hang of it, and then I really like serving guests and seeing guests smiling. So that really changed the whole aspect of it.
our backbone is Singaporean cuisine, like dishes that you know, the laksa, Hainanese chicken rice, bak kut teh. How do I put it into a more refined version to bring it to the international stage? The Chinese name of panggang is chou wei xiang tou. I wanted to use the pungent ingredients to share with the local guests. So the prawn paste, fish sauce, and pad thai, which is very normal to us. For the local Taiwanese, it's not their daily stuff. So I wanted to challenge that. This dish is very controversial because not everyone likes these flavors. I wanted to share flavors, ingredients, and culture aspect of Southeast Asia or Singapore. He's selling fish head curry, his signature dish. I really like his curry sauce. It's so smooth and drinkable. When I was in primary school, I would go and help at the store, cleaning dishes, ordering food, or serving dishes to the guests. When I was strong enough to hold the wok, I even helped cook some simple dishes. What I brought from my dad's store or his business is to serve the customer well. Cooking good food is the most basic thing. The most important aspect of me is to make the guests happy. I enrolled myself into a culinary school because when I learned from my dad, you know, they are the old school teaching method, like a scoop of this, a tablespoon of that. Everything is not measured out. When I got interested into cooking, I really wanted to know the scientific aspect of it as well.
Three
weeks before opening, I realized that the menu had no soul. It's not me at all. It's not Jimmy. And I asked myself a lot of questions. I wanted to showcase Singaporean cuisine. And then we did a shift into it to change the whole restaurant style to modern Singaporean cuisine.
每一道菜，等于是你经过了一个新加坡的一个旅行的洗礼，它用味道告诉你，但除了用味道告诉你之外，再加上它的介绍，也许以前爸爸做菜的什么味道。
We started cooperating with this farm, Seming Li Sen Tai Nong Yuan, because I can't get fresh Southeast Asian ingredients here. So when somebody introduced the farmer to me, I was ecstatic to be able to get fresh ingredients there. The farmer is very cool. He went to Indonesia, he stayed there for a while, and then he really enjoyed Southeast Asian ingredients. And he bring it back to Taiwan, and then he started to grow them.
他说：“假如我有机会，我也拿到一个成就奖，我的这些跟着我们一起成长的人，大家都能够也都有一席之地。”他其实在这一两年来，他转变很大，他非常注重团队的成长、和谐。
Taiwan has made me more calm. I used to be very pushy when I first came to Taiwan. But I realized that the Renqing Wei in Taiwan reminds me of my dad's store in the hawker center. The community, the warmth, the kindness that they showed to each other. Singaporean flavor is important to me because this is where I'm born, where I come from. I'm Singaporean. And Singaporean flavor to me is home. The Ya Kun kaya toast, I turn it into a dessert. We made an edible eggshell and then kaya ice cream with a salted butter espuma. And then we dust it off on top with a coffee powder. I think my father will be proud, and I hope that he's proud. Although we are both chefs, but we are both cooking on different platforms and catering to different guests. I hope what I'm doing now has some part of him that brings along with me to wherever I go and results that I have achieved.
I just want to show to the world that in the small alley of Chinatown, Bangkok, that this over 100 years old building can turn into the restaurant of my dreams because it's my ancestors' legacy, and I want to show it to the world through food. And there's so much memories in the building, and I just want to bring that memory back to life again. The first floor is called Sino Bar. And then once you walk up where they used to make the medicine here, we call this room the main dining room. The third floor, we call that the Eight Tigers room. There's a fermentation room on that floor as well. You walk up to the fourth floor, eventually it's gonna become Opium Bar. Last but not least, you walk up to the fifth floor, it's a rooftop. You can see Chinatown up from high. We came up with this Yawarat map, or Chinatown. It represents the whole theme and the whole intention of our restaurant to create memories with the lights and with the desserts, everything. It's gonna stick to your memory until you go home, go to bed, and dream about it. So we got the chestnut and then turn left, you see this big building, which is Potong. It's the logo of Potong medicine long time ago. And then once you walk further to the small alley, you will find an old shop that's been selling Chinese dessert for so long. So that one, we depict the sesame balls. Chinese corn soup, it makes me feel homey, makes me feel warm, makes me feel comfortable. And that's why I create the corn dish here.
We do consider ourselves as a Chinese restaurant, right? But we're not necessarily cooking Thai Chinese food, but rather go through the repertory of ingredients used by both cuisines and transform them in something amazing. The approach to food, I would say, it's a mix of rich steak and naiveness, not in naiveness in the way that she knows how to cook, but like, how can I cook these ingredients in a completely different way and forget everything that's been done with that ingredient?
I love exploring, whether it's produce, seafood, all the ingredients. The sea crab is really interesting because it pops in your mouth. It's really salty at the same time. It gives that sweetness and that texture. I'm not putting the sea crab just to be there for decoration, but it adds the whole new complexity and a whole new mouthfeel, and also the taste is extraordinary. She loves cooking. She's the greatest chef for me. And she didn't have the chance to go to culinary school back then. My mom feel like her dream become true through me. It's like I'm the one who pursued for her. I learned that any ingredients can combine together if you understand it and, you know, make into your own interpretation. That's why it opens my mind that it's endless to create any dish.
I would say both of us has the same working style. Like, I am also a leadership type, so that's why when we try to talk over something, then I guess that's where the fight comes from, because both of us want to win. Although we fight, but it's all for the same goal, like, which is just try to get the best out and, you know, serve the best thing for the customer.
Having a child and a family of my own, it really changed my attitude towards food and towards life. To make my daughter proud when she grows up and let her see the legacy that is left after me and for her as well. In my childhood, we eat dinner as a family. How can I make that nostalgia feel into a fine dining table? Even though, like, you come here for two people to dine at, when you have that family meal, it reminds you of like your grandparents, your parents, like having a dinner in a big family. We have to end the meal with something that brings them back to authenticity, to the feeling of like homey and fulfillness.
The edible flower is for your eyes. The eye is first. But the flower have to have the purpose in the dish, just more than just it look beautiful. To use the flower as the beautiful garnish, but to complete the flavor profile of the dish as well. Edible flowers farmer 7 years ago was doing a vegetable farm. I told her I want edible flowers, and she said to me, no way. I convinced her to try, so now she's one of the biggest Thai edible flowers, I think, in the country. Being a chef for me is to connect with the farmer, the fisherman, and I like to go to see them in person because I want to see and I want to learn. You have to respect where it's come from, how hard that this fish or this flower or vegetable that deliver to your restaurant. A lot of people put their heart, their passions, their sweat into it, and we should treat that with respect and then with love, and we have to pass that to the customer. We change the menu every season except this dish, which is the liver prawn from Ta Pi in Surat Thani that we grill, and then we serve it with the two kind of rice from the mountain in Pai, and then mix with the shrimp paste and all the condiments and with the bris that make with the tom yum flavor. Before I opened the restaurant, many people around the world think of Thai food only, you know, inexpensive food. But no one think Thai ingredients as a superior. I want to use ladu as representation of the new era of Thai restaurant that using the 100% local ingredient, which is the trend now. But back 10 years ago, you know, everyone thought I was crazy. Passed away at the end of, you know, 2019, just before the COVID, and I decided to open this restaurant for her, so her name will be remembered forever. Thai Chinese family, everyone has to have Thai pulao. That is the dish that my grandmom cooked for us a lot. The thing that got me start cooking is because I'm so bored with this dish. So we start to put in all the herbs, chilies, and, you know, like a tom yum spices. And it's become something like a spicy five spice eggs, which is now we sell as a signature, and people actually love it. I'm very happy that, you know, it's something that inspired from my grandmom. And now even every time I cook or I eat that dish, I still remember about her.
Ton is our oldest brother. We have three brothers in our family. I'm the younger brother of Chaton. He opened Ladu. I'll go to help him sometime. And then I think that is built up to be a part of this industry, I think. And then after we opened Ban, it's kind of like the feeling of home, built us together. And then we know our route, we know what we want to do. In our family, no one want us to open a restaurant. Like, they want us to be like in the office, to be a banker.
So that's my first job in the Italian kitchen in the small, you know, casino hotel, where I found my love in cooking professionally. Big fight with my families. They were very upset. And my mom, at the end of the day, she was very supportive. She's the one who made my dream happen, and I have to thank her for that. So I think it helped me a lot as a chef as well, because I understand the why. So I know what the food I created, which one will go well with which dishes. When I came back, the food scene in Thailand is very one-dimensional, I would say. For me, a little bit boring. You know, because everyone's serving the same food, they're serving only imported ingredients, you know. Everyone eat only, you know, French, Italian, and Japanese food, and I decided it's the time that we must change. People didn't believe me at that time. They said, like, I would go bankrupt in, you know, 6 months. Luckily, they're wrong, so we survived for 8 years.
I think he's changing a lot of the Thai food scene. People are more aware about the local produce, a Thai restaurant that doing the French European technique. People understand more about what we are doing, what we want to promote, and what we want to communicate.
For me, I have no rule, you know, when I create the dishes. Something just click in from my childhood memories. I walk on the street and I taste one dishes, and most of the time is to brainstorming with your team, you know, what is our direction, what is the seasonal ingredient that will come, and we create it around it as an ingredient, as the star of the show. The Thai produce become a big part of the restaurant industry in Thailand, and I'm very proud that I can be a part of it to make this change.
At the end of the meal, having the dessert could be the most memorable. It doesn't have to be too complicated, but eating it probably will remind you of some kind of flavors that you had before, like your childhood times, or something very familiar to you. This dessert is actually like a donut and a combination of what we have in Singapore, the ham ji beng. In Taiwan, we call it sambal thai. This idea comes from a corn snack, we call it a yu mi beng. In Taiwan, there's like a lot of childhood kind of memory from this corn snack.
他在设计这个texture上面，他应该要先怎么样把它分出来，然后我们再来去想我们要做什么样的味道。他会来看，我每一季的菜单或是每张菜单的前面我放了些什么，然后他去做，他最后面把尾巴收进来。他的风格，那他是一个新加坡的华人，但他却做有一点台湾味道的甜点。
对，譬如说材料啊，然后一些小小的东西上面是，你可能会会心一笑。There's actually a lot of common things in Singapore and the culture in Taiwan. One of our signature dessert, which is Taiwan's pineapple cake, which is 凤梨酥. But I added more spice into, you know, the marmalade, because back in Singapore, when we do the pineapple tart, we actually add in a little bit more spices to elevate the flavor. My mom's hobby, it was baking and cooking. And so when I was about 3, I liked to hang around in the kitchen with her. But it started off more like a chaos until I grew up like maybe like 7. That was when I started off really helping her, like, you know, weighing all the stuff, baking with her, cooking with her. We enjoy a lot being together in the kitchen. Chefs isn't that glamorized back then when I make this career switch. But to me, that was what I wanted to be. I'm more comfortable in the kitchen doing baking and plating, that kind of rush feeling. When I told my mom that I want to make the switch, she was totally supportive. She was like, you should have told me earlier. I joked around and I was like, why didn't you hire me? He kept it in mind. And he was setting up Taihua. He called me and asked if I would like to join him in Taiwan as his pastry chef.
I took up the offer, and right now I'm in Taiwan, Taipei.
Angela 平常跟我最喜欢去做的事情就是到处去吃甜点，以及这些传统的台湾的小吃。我们会一起排休，然后就是到台湾各地去旅行跟冒险。Angela 私底下是个非常热情、活泼，而且非常跟我一样就非常人来疯的人，然后就也很贴心，然后对朋友就非常的好。但是在他专业的部分上面，他是一个非常追求完美的人，就是一点点小出错都没有办法接受。台湾的甜点界，我觉得因为在 Angela 就是带入了这些新的元素之后，把这些传统的街边的小吃要上另外一个国际的层次。因为我觉得这边就是非常，就是具有台湾传统小吃的这些精神。
Samwa chip, it's eaten hot and cold because they have like milk flavored ice shavings, and then you have hot mochi with sesame powder or peanut powder and a little bit of sugar. There's like different textures, different flavors, and of course you have like, you know, the hot and cold combination, which is very interesting for me. It's actually something that, you know, you could make into a dessert. This year will be my sixth year. I get to experience earthquakes, typhoon, and you get a call the next day, you know, the farmer telling you, I'm sorry, you're not gonna get your fix because it's blown away. Yeah, so it's something that you have to deal with. It's pretty challenging for me. As a person, Taiwan changed me quite a lot. I get to use a lot of local produce. I get to know more about learning the culture, not only as a chef, also as myself. And interpreting some of this culture into our dessert, which is, for me, a learning experience. The first thing that I want to do is to go back home, of course, give my mom a big hug, go out and have some hawker food. There's a lot of like friends and relatives that I miss hanging out around with back in Singapore, and I miss the food.